Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter number 17. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in many people's hearts. And I'm telling you that I believe God has great plans for many people that are perhaps seated here tonight that wonder, why in the world am I here? What's the point? I was talking to Emily briefly yesterday after the rehearsal, and she was over in the office and was asking if I had heard any of the coverage about the man that did the shooting at the mall in Omaha, Nebraska. And we all aware what took place. And in the note that he left, he mentioned that there was no meaning in his life. It was a meaningless existence. And I want to tell you something. A life lived without Christ is fairly meaningless. No meaning to it. Can I tell you something? I know whereof I speak. I gave probably 90 to 100 hours a week to a charitable organization back about 5 or 6 years ago. I was the president of Operation Hope Los Angeles. The man that they let go ahead of me, who had been the president and chief operations officer, was the deputy treasurer of the state of California. And then for a while, Andrew Young, former Secretary of State of the United States, came in to fill that office. And we had offices in New York and Washington, D.C., one in Phoenix, San Francisco, Oakland, four in Los Angeles, and in other places around the country. And the purpose was to bring financial services to the underserved of the inner city, to do financial literacy programs, and to wipe out poverty, to help poor people become homeowners, to leverage home equity into small businesses and to become stakeholders in their community. And there were many great success stories as a result of that. According to the Greenlining Institute, which is the kind of watchdog panel in America for the underserved and so forth, our organization did more than any financial institution in the entire world to create homeowners in the inner city in the state of California than any bank or financial institution, and several of them put together. But there were many nights I found myself at the office at 11 or 12 o'clock at night thinking to myself, what a colossal waste. I'm helping people who don't know the Lord as Savior to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic so they can enjoy the journey to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't find any meaning or fulfillment in that charitable work. And by the way, I'll tell you, of all of the executives in the organization, I was the most charitable. I was the most careful about the money spent. And most of them lived the lifestyles of the rich and famous in the name of helping the poor, trying to build a name for themselves, and stayed at the Pilgrim Hotel when they went to visit congressmen at $450 a night in their hotel room, and ate at 4- and 5-star restaurants in the name of eradicating poverty. And I got to tell you something. People send money. Institutions gave us millions of dollars. Linda knows. And it was meaningless. And the sad fact is there are some people who are thinking that they're serving the Lord, and they're having the same feelings. What's the point? And I know people that have been there because they miss the point. They miss the reason why they're there. And in Luke chapter 17, the Bible says in verse number 7, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?" Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. You know what that means? I don't think so. Verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Heavenly Father, would you, by thy Spirit, minister to hearts tonight? Lord, would you lead us in paths of righteousness, and may we follow. For we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight's message is titled simply, Unprofitable Service. It seems kind of wild and way out there that we might be involved in something within the context of church that would ever be rendered unprofitable. But whether we understand it or not, whether we have considered it or not, there are things in the Word of God that we may do as a means of service within the context of ministry that unto us would be unprofitable. The Bible speaks it so. Now, I don't know if you've ever put a lot of work into something that was later undone. There are many times in my life where I can look back over times where maybe I was working on a project and maybe invested hours of time. In fact, I started writing a book about a couple of years ago, and I had a good portion underway, started, and it was on the hard drive of my computer. And you know what happened? The computer got stolen along with all my work. I had gotten a bunch of work completed on some master's degree courses I was taking, and it was on the hard drive of that computer. And guess what? It was all gone. I'd done the work, but I had nothing to show for it. And I want to tell you that there are a lot of people who have done the work, and at the end of the day, you're going to have nothing to show for it. I'm going to tell you, the Bible speaks clearly about this. I'm not going to wrest one verse of Scripture out of its context. I'm not going to twist the meaning of it to suit an outline or a sermon theme. I'm just going to give you the Bible in bold-faced text and let you see it for yourself. And let God be God in you. I believe tonight that ministry is a call to every Christian. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we establish that we are not saved by works. But the next verse tells us that we who are saved have been foreordained to work. For the Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Verse 9, "I'm not saved by works." Verse 10, "I have been foreordained to be a workman for Christ, now that I am saved." So, "which God hath before ordained that I should walk in them." In other words, that my lifestyle should be characterized by a ministry or by a service to others. Paul said in the next chapter of Ephesians, in chapter 3, he said unto me, who am the least among the saints, is this grace given that I should preach Christ among the heathen? Listen, he realized that ministry was a grace. It was an undeserved favor. This is not my right to stand up in front of you and preach the gospel. Did you know that? It's not my right. I might say, well, I have a calling on my life, and I might have the gifts to go along with that calling, and it's still not my right. It's a privilege. And you know what comes with privilege? Responsibility. And I would tell you this, that it is none of our right. If you sing in the choir, it's not your right to sing in the choir. Some people think, well, I go to the church all the time, why can't I sing in the choir? Well, listen, it's a privilege to be able to minister within the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I go to the church, why can't I work in the nursery or teach the kids or help out in the kitchen? It's not your right to do it simply because you show up. It is a privilege, and with privilege comes responsibility. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received Christ Jesus our Lord, we faint not. And my friend, the indication that Paul was giving to the Corinthian believers was this, that when we got saved, we were inducted into the ministry. Some people think ministry means that I'm going to get a paycheck. I told my Sunday school class for this. I used to all the time have young men come and say, I feel the Lord calling me to preach. And I would say, preach! Well, you know, you see, the thing is, no, I'm like, well, you could go out street preaching today. We got teams going out. We have ministry at four convalescent homes. You could go do that. You could go preach at a convalescent home. In fact, we got a third grade boys Sunday school class that needs some help. We'll let you preach in there to some third grade boys and get your feet wet, as it were, in the work of the Lord. And you can do what you've been called to do. Preacher, you see, the thing is, what? You see, every person in this room tonight is to be in the ministry. Jesus said, he that would be the chiefest among you, let him be your minister. He said, he that would be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And in both cases, the same indication is given, that from top to bottom, from coast to coast, everyone that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to be involved in the service of the King. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. It's a privilege that we do not deserve, but Jesus has blessed us with the gift to be involved in the ministry. Did you know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul expounds very clearly and unmistakably that giving finances to the work of the Lord is a grace that we are undeserving of? He said, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in diligence, in your knowledge, and in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also. What was he talking about? Well, what he expounded on the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that is giving money to the work of the Lord. You know why he called it a grace? Because we don't deserve to be involved in perpetuating the gospel around the world. The Lord has called us fellow laborers together with Him. We're laborers together with God. What a privilege to be in the work of the Lord as a laborer together with the Lord. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. These ladies that go and work in the nursery, as difficult as it is, you don't deserve to be able to do it, not just because my kids are in there, okay? But because it's service to the Lord, and it's a grace to be able to serve Him. You know what? A lot of times we have people that say, well, you know, I don't feel like that. I don't have any kids in the nursery. Since when was that ever the qualification for being a worker in the nursery? Huh? I didn't find that in the Scriptures. Did you? Show me the verse. Yeah, it's in Hezekiah, right. That's kind of like, you know, George Timms. He ministers in the prisons because that's where all his family members are. But He found that in Hezekiah also. I'm just teasing, Brother George. But see, that's a silly thing. If you only minister to the people that you think you have, you know, in your life, then, you know, most of the time we'd only minister to the lone wolf dysfunctional idiot. Amen? Can we be serious about this? See, what are you talking about? Count yourself an unprofitable servant, the Bible says, if all you do is that which is asked of you. I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. And I'm going to move quickly. We're not going to be late tonight. I'll determine what late is, but it won't be whatever time it happens to be. See, the rules are that I get to determine how late is late. Okay? So, the other rule is that when I tell a joke, you laugh when I think it's funny, not when you think it's funny. I'm just kidding. and I always fall back on plan B. If nobody laughs at my jokes, I'll always laugh at them. So I'll get a bang out of them even if nobody else does. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, page 1223 if you have an old Schofield Bible. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, what? Charity, which is what?
Love.
I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Pause. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Do you know what? It renders a hollow, empty sound all by itself. I can remember living in Asia and walking through the streets and hearing the monks pounding on a gourd. It was a hollow, kind of empty sound. And that's what's being communicated here. A sounding brass. Someone just beating on a gong. It's empty. It's hollow. There's nothing substantive to it. And as we look down in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it, say it with me, profiteth me nothing. I submit to you, first of all, tonight that service without biblical charity is unprofitable service. Service without biblical charity is unprofitable service. The Lord is saying to us that you could be involved in some great work, you could believe the right things, but if you're not doing it out of a heart of love for the Savior, there is no benefit to you in it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There have been times where I've gone out and I've given a gospel tract to someone, and I've told them how to be saved. And you know what? They understood the gospel, they prayed the sinner's prayer, and they accepted the Lord as Savior. And I only did it because I was obligated to go out and tell somebody to do it. That person reaped eternal profit out of that. You know what I got from it? Nothing. I kept my job for another week. I kept my job for another week. Because I didn't go out of a heart of love for the Savior, I did because I had to. I had the verses memorized, you see. I knew the plan of salvation and I could give it in my sleep. And I still can. And I told them because I felt like I had to do it. And they're still saved, but you know what? There was no reward in it. Because it was not done in love. You say, that's pretty heavy duty. Well, turn back in 1 Corinthians to chapter 3. Verse verse number 12. Have I taken any verses out of context? Have I twisted the Scripture? No. You know, all I'm doing is giving you the bold-faced text of the Scripture and letting God be God in your life. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's, what's the next word?
Work
shall be made manifest. So that's all of the service that we render in the name of ministry. Okay? So what's being talked about here? It's not talking about your sins. It's talking about your service. So some people think that, you know, this is, you know, talking about sin. This isn't talking about sin. This is talking about service. Okay? So, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire in the Word of God is always indicative of refinement or judgment. And the Lord will refine the works of men with His all-knowing, perfect, righteous, the righteous judge, with the righteous eye of God. He will see it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, when we sort things, let's say we're gonna collect some money for charitable causes, and we ask people to bring in their spare change and drop them in a receptacle. And if we get all the change out, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sort it so we can roll it. And we'll sort the pennies from the nickels, from the dimes, from the quarters. Now, the denomination or the value of each of those things determines of what sort it is. Now, God will determine of what sort our works are. That which will be gold, silver, and precious stone, or that which will be wood, hay, and stubble. And I submit to you that on the basis of Scripture, that the divine sorter, that which determines what is gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble, is love. Is love. Let's read on. Verse number 14. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Any profit for service. Okay? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so we understand that God is going to sort out those works according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, the same book that we're reading from here, the divine sorter is the motivation for that work, love. Now, you may write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth me." You know what caused Paul to do what he did? The love of God. His whole life was a response to the love of God. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." What's that? The bowels and mercies talk about heart and soul. It speaks about the love, the deep, deep love of Jesus that we sang of tonight. His life was a response to the deep, deep love of Jesus. Tonight's service that's rendered apart from a love for the Savior is unprofitable service. People may still get saved, and we can find some measure of comfort in that. But there's a loss of reward. I want you to see, secondly, if you go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I only have 4 points tonight. We're on point number 2. We're near halfway done, and I'm more than halfway done. Okay, so don't get nervous. All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man, what's the next word?
Spoil
you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Point number two, service without a biblical cause is unprofitable service. Service without a biblical cause is unprofitable service. You say, what do you mean? There are things that you can do even within the context of ministry that if they do not rise out of a cause found in the Word of God, it's going to come to nothing. In other words, you will have spoiled those efforts. Now, I want to tell you what, if you take your Greek interlinear, Brother Hilmer, or if you look in your Strong's or your Vincent's or your Weiss or your Vines or whichever one you want to, and look up the word spoil here in Colossians chapter 2. It means to take away. It means to rob. It means to render useless. So whatever definition you choose to hold on to, it's taken away from you. It's robbed from you. It's rendered useless. If we can't find a reason rooted in the Word of God to do the things that we do. I want to tell you, we have a lot of activity. And sometimes I have to take a step back and say, is this activity going to fulfill a biblical purpose in the lives of God's people? Or is it just activity for the sake of activity? I don't believe in the knitting circles and sewing circles in the church so that we can make gifts for our grandchildren or our children. Because that's a selfish purpose to start. It has a selfish end. And God's not in selfish things, especially within the context of ecclesia, which is a body that's created to serve others. You say, well, the purpose isn't sowing, the purpose is fellowship. And if you can justify that, that's great. But I'm going to tell you, I'm all for Nancy the other day. She came in and she had knitted 50 stocking caps for gypsy children in Romania. 50. That had to have taken countless hours sitting there just working those hands, just nonstop. And you know, I can justify that. Because you know what? David Butts will take a stocking cap or a box of stocking caps into a gypsy neighborhood and hand those out, and with that witness to everyone that gets a stocking cap. Tell them about Jesus. They'll be able to go out and play for the first time perhaps and feel their ears in sub-zero temperatures. I can justify that. Sometimes the things that we do are without any biblical merit. And I think we have to pause and say, are the things that we're doing rooted in the Word of God? Because if not, then what's going to happen is that activity, while we may enjoy it immensely at the moment, can be taken away of having any justifiable reward. Why? Because the world wants to tell you that the church is social, not spiritual. That there are temporal things about the church and spiritual things about the church. You know what I say to that? Hogwash. Show me a verse. Give me a verse. Sometimes people say, well, you know, the reason why a church should have trustees is to take care of the temporal affairs of the church. Give me a verse. Just one. And don't make it 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because you can't justify that one either, because that stewardship is the stewardship of the mysteries of God. You know what that means? The gospel. Tell me the gospel is temporal and not eternal. Some people say, well, they're going to count the money and pay the bills and be officers for the state. Give me a verse. where we have to do it that way. And give me a verse that says money isn't an indicator of spiritual things, and how that money is spent is not an indicator of the spiritual values of a body. You show me your checkbook register or your bank statement, and I'll have a great window into your life values. True or false? True. Why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so sometimes we set up church polity based on the philosophy of the world and not after the rudiments of Christ. Sometimes we do the things we do in church because that's just the way we've always done it, or that's the way Granny Goose did it over at the Little Brown Church in the Dale, and we've got to do it like that because she was the finest person I ever knew. Listen, the fact that she's the finest person you ever knew didn't make her right, and it didn't mean that she had a biblical reason for doing the things that she did. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to keep us tracking, amen? You know, I want to be able to look at it and say, look, okay, why are the ladies getting together at Christmas? To commemorate the birth of Christ. To fellowship and encourage and uplift one another. Because there are a lot of people that are going through the holidays without a loved one for the first time in their life. They're going to go through the holidays alone for the first time in their life, and they need a brother or sister in the Lord to be there to lift up and care for them and encourage them. And because they need a word from the Scriptures, and so we have a speaker to stand up and point people to Jesus Christ and tell them about the goodness of God in Christmas and in bringing His, allowing His Son to come to this earth. And so we can justify a ladies' fellowship. Why do we do visitation? Well, that's pretty simple. We can justify that, right? Why do we take an offering? Is there a Bible reason for it? Absolutely. The Bible commands us to do so. And the Bible commands every man, according as God hath prospered him, so let him give. That means all of us should be involved in it. And so, listen, sometimes people get upset at some of the things that we do, but you know, if God's commanded us to do it, I don't care if a hair lifts the Pope, we're going to be obedient to what God told us to do. Amen? And listen, sometimes the things that are just traditional, we might need to take a step back and say, listen, if there's not a good Bible reason for doing this, then maybe we hadn't ought to be doing it because it's just going to be a social activity. Amen. I'll say amen to myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, don't turn there, but I'm going to quote it to you. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I remember your work of faith. What does the term work of faith indicate? That is this, that they believed something that led them to do something. And what is the basis for our belief? I'm glad you asked me that question. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So my faith is rooted in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides me on the basis of the platform of the Word of God. And listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead me to do one thing that's not contained in the Word of God. Because He can't deny who He is. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, service without a biblical cause is unprofitable. We ought to have a reason why we do the things that we do. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Whew, we're almost done. Isn't this great? Are we having fun yet?
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? The preacher's just so happy he can hardly stand it. You know, as happy as a pig in slop. I am. I'm just happy. I'm just giving you the truth. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not thinking about anything except the truth of the Word of God. And just, you know, I'm just casting out the seed there and seeing what kind of ground it's going to fall on. Amen. So, the shoe fits, wear it. Verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We preached on this a few weeks ago. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which, say the rest of the verse with me, shall not be taken away from her. You know what that means? It's going to be that gold, silver, and precious stone type of work. It's not going to be that wood, hay, and stubble type of work. It's going to be that gold, silver, and precious stone type of work. That kind that will have something to show in that day. Now, Martha was busy. She was working in the kitchen. She was getting ready a meal for Jesus. But you know what? Her heart was empty. And thirdly, I submit to you that service without biblical communion is unprofitable service. Because I believe that proper service, based on this and many other passages in the Scripture, rises out of pure worship to the Savior. And pure worship is not something where that someone goes into a church and sways back and forth and waves their hands, makes a spectacle out of themselves, rolls around on the floor, comes away feeling so good because they heard a great performance from the praise band at church. That's selfish. That's not worship. Worship is God-centered. So much of what we call worship in Christendom today is self-centered. It's all about me getting a blessing, me having a feeling, me having an experience. And if God is not at the center of it, it's not worship to anyone but man. You understand that? You know what Martha wanted? She wanted her burden to be eased. She wanted someone to recognize her. She wanted to sit in a seat of privilege. She didn't want Mary stealing Jesus, so to speak, sitting in the limelight. You know, Mary's out there trying to take all the credit, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, but guess who's doing all the work here? You see, she had her eyes on Martha. Jesus, or Mary had her eyes on Jesus. And you know what? What Mary was doing is that gold, silver, and precious stone kind of stuff that cannot be taken away from her. In other words, it'll never be spoiled. It'll never be taken away. Isn't it great when the Bible interprets itself? I think it's great. I believe that sometimes we get so busy going through the routine and we get so good at it. Brother John, you know, you give a lesson on the tongue and, you know, you could go down and buy the big beef tongue. And if we're not careful, you know what happens? And I did children's church for years. You've taught that lesson enough times that you can just do it without needing the power of the Holy Spirit on your life because you know how. You've memorized the verse. You've done this deal already once. You've been to two calf ropings in a county fair and you have an idea what it takes to get the point across. But if all we ever do is try to get our point across and it doesn't rise out of a heart of pure worship, of biblical communion with Jesus Christ, ultimately will be taken away. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a prerequisite of profitable service. Time in the Word is a prerequisite of profitable service. Because it is in the Word of God that we commune with Jesus. It is through prayer and time that we commune with Jesus. And if we fail to listen to our God and spend time in communion with Him and spiritual intimacy with Him, we will find ourselves just like the gong sounding the call to come to church, but it's kind of hollow. It's kind of empty. I sometimes tell Brother Bert, we look in the bulletin and it says special music. I sometimes want to ask him, what's so special about it? Did we spend extra time thinking about it? Did we pray extra over it? Did we practice extra on it? Did we weep through it? We used to give musical seminars twice a year to all the musicians in our church, and I would preach to them, and I would tell a soloist, if you have not at least one time wept with a song because it so moved you, then what makes you think you can communicate the truth of that song in such a way that it will move anyone else? And I tell a preacher the same thing. If I can't weep in the study over what God is teaching me, then I can never with passion communicate it to the people of God in such a way that would make any difference. You know where it starts? With me in worship to the Lord in my own spirit. Because profitable service rises out of pure worship. And I'm talking about biblical communion, spiritual intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's the power source for our service. Lastly tonight, if you would turn to the book of Jude, the second to the last book in the Bible. One chapter. The book of Jude. The Bible says in verse number 22, Brother Dennis, we've discussed this one. It's the verse that is kind of the foundation for the service that his company provides. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Lastly, service without biblical compassion is unprofitable service. Do you know it has been said that the world does not care how much you know until it knows how much you care. The world does not care how much you know until it knows how much you care. I had a professor in college. I was talking to my daughter Rachel recently about a professor, and we were commiserating together about professors that were a little ungracious, shall we say. And he had 3 earned doctorates from seminary. 3 of them. And you know, you would think that with everything that he knew, he would be 3 times as effective in the work of the Lord. Or maybe have a 3-dimensional ministry, or be reaching more people, or doing something that was going to make an everlasting difference. But I'm going to tell you, he became bogged down in the muck and the mire of pride because of how much he thought he knew about the Bible, and he became so pompous and self-absorbed that nobody even wanted to go to class because they didn't care what he knew, because he could care less about them. And of some have compassion, what's the next words? Making a difference. You know what the indication of Scripture here is? That compassionless service doesn't really make all that big a difference. Compassionless service doesn't really make all that big a difference. Or could we safely say that it is unprofitable service? When I love God, guess who else I'm going to love? Those that are created in His image. That means you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? I'm going to love you too. I'm just going to haul off and do it. But you know, I'm going to do it because the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart towards you. I'm going to do it with biblical compassion. And do you know what? You're going to sense it. And do you know what's more? It'll bear fruit. It'll make a difference. Some of us just kind of hollow. We're there. We're going through the motions. We think we deserve a medal or Sunday school pin for showing up and taking up space. And when you show up and take up space, count yourself an unprofitable servant, because all you did was what you were supposed to do. Not what the pastor said you're supposed to do, but what the Bible directs us to do. It's pretty simple. You ever find yourself feeling like, why in the world am I doing this? Where am I going? You know, I mean, going down to church again. Let me tell you, there's two ends of the spectrum in Christian service. One end of the spectrum is people that they're serving the Lord out of constraint and compulsion, and they just feel like they have to, and it's my responsibility, and so they show up. That's one end of the spectrum. There's another end of the spectrum, and that is that people are doing it because they want to get a blessing. And that's unprofitable service too. You know why? Because you're the motive, not God. You want Him to bless you, not you be a blessing to Him. Count yourself an unprofitable servant. You read it in Luke 17. Because that servant didn't look to be appreciated or blessed because he did his job. Do you hear that? But when we love the Lord, I'm going to tell you what we'll do. More than the least expectation. I told the choir this morning, a job worth doing for the Lord is worth doing well or not at all. I think about that song, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Not for me, so that people can look at me. Not so that I could sing a song and think that everybody, or have everybody think that, you know, what a great vocalist or soloist, or what a great preacher, what a good teacher, or what a great decorator, or what a wonderful, you fill in the blank. But have I done my best for Jesus? I don't know about you, but I want there to be meaning in my life and to know that the time invested is bearing fruit, everlasting fruit, that's going to remain and that's going to count, abound in my own account. Some of you are like the preacher, and you have spent hours studying, working, and somebody comes and steals the computer and all the work was spoiled, robbed, taken away. Do it because you love God. Do it because you have a reason from the Scripture. Do it because pure worship is the foundation for profitable service. Do it because as Christ is formed in you, you can't help but be compassionate to those in need. And when you do, guess what? It makes a difference. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've shared in your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that it would take root in us. Help us not just to be busy people, but might we be involved in that which is truly profitable, truly meaningful in every way. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Perhaps there's one in the